Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. Worship and adore you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Most High God. Thank you, I am that I am. Thank you, mighty Redeemer. To you be all the praise and glory. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Glory to God. We want to give God all the praise and all the glory for his faithfulness and all the good things that he has done and that we are seeing him do. It is a privilege, it's not the right, and it cannot and it is not taken for granted. So we want to return all glory and praise, adoration to his name. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I welcome everybody to this meeting this occasioning of God and this gathering tonight. Jesus is Lord. We give God the praise for how far he has continued to help us and to show us his grace, making us to understand his ways. Hallelujah. I want to first of all begin by making us to understand that this is not a temporary arrangement. And by this I mean in the entirety of what we do. This is not let's say a man's contrivance so that he can have an avenue to speak to his people or relate with his people or whatever. This is a determination of God in the earth. This is an assignment of the kingdom in the earth. This is a wisdom of God in the earth. This structure and this place, this thing, if I can use that word, this assignment that you are in right now, it's not just an arrangement that is temporal or that is occasioned by necessity from human perspective or from mundane perspective. This is an assignment of the kingdom in the earth. And this is the operation of God in the earth. This is not man's contrivance, and this is not man's good ideas. These are all God's leading, God's instruction, and God's determination in the earth. I want to say that and continually say it so that we can be reminded to see it in this light and try to make the most of our occasioning by God, or of the occasioning by God for us to be joined to this network. It's a privilege from Jesus Christ to all of us. I am privileged to be part of it because I see, have seen, is seeing, and is going to see the things that Jesus Christ himself has proposed concerning the network. Take note, I refer to the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, because this came not by a contrivance of man. And as this the revelation of the Apostle Paul will so overwhelm him, that Apostle Paul will boldly declare that even if an angel comes from heaven or wherever and preaches any gospel contrary to what he has preached to the people and to those that heard him, he will not say the people should even judge his doctrine. He will rather say, let the angel be accursed. That is the level of the confidence that the man has. This is the level of the confidence that the man has in the revelation of Jesus Christ that has overcompossessed him, consumed him, and he is just too sure about it. It has consumed him. So this also is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This, where you are now, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I say that this, where you are now, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's not a temporary arrangement or just some kind of... There are other kinds of arrangements that are similar to this. Number of them, we cannot speak for them. But we can say for this one that this is not just this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's important you are aware of what you are joined to. Because you are occasioned and being joined to a structure and a body and a design from heaven in the earth that is set to be one of the principal arrangement and design of heaven in this age that we have come to. It's one of the principal platforms or machinery, design, instrument, and wisdom of God. I even fall short of words at this particular moment. That Jesus Christ has ordained to be in the earth. And these things were given at the place of his deep revelation. His deep revelation. Such that it is born out of a deep desire in the heart of the Messiah. That it is not something you can dig and dig off from just the surface of his determination, but deep down within his desire and in his heart, for the sake of his purpose in the earth. Because Jesus Christ has a purpose in the earth, but God's purpose are fulfilled by God's arrangement and design and preordination and predetermination in the earth. Paul said that when it pleased God who had called me and separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me, there was this purpose in the heart of the Lord, but he had to set and predetermine something that will come to serve for the fulfillment of that purpose. This ministry, and by ministry I mean the assignment that Jesus Christ gives to his servants and his sons, his servants in the faith, and his servants that worship and serve him to execute for him in his head according to his will and purpose for them. This ministry, this assignment,
this ordination of heaven in the earth serves a deep purpose in the things of God in this age that is presently. And some person, and you have seen it. Thank you. So you are part of such a structure or an arrangement of heaven. So it's not it's not like they just do something and they do what. No, this is heavy out of heaven in the earth. May God unveil to you wisdom and insight to see that where you stand is a precious and a holy ground. I've always given this illustration. When the Messiah was to come to the earth, he was born where animals feed and live, in a livestock house. But he was the king of the world, the king of heaven. He was to start a movement. I was to be the beginning of something in the earth that would continue thousands of years after. But he started inside a manger, contrary to wisdom of men. As a matter of fact, those men, when they followed the star, at some point, they diverted to the palace. The scripture doesn't clearly teach or say to us that the star led them to the palace, because it was after they left there, and the Bible says the same star appeared to them, and they rejoiced, and then they followed. So if there was a time where they couldn't find the star, they were supposed to wait until he appeared again. But when the logic of their understanding came in and said, well, they said he is the king of the Jews, so let us, since we have been brought forth to the Judea and Jerusalem, and we have been brought forth here, let us go. We have come to the land of the Israelites, to Judea. Let us go to the palace. And so they went to palace and began to make known revelations that were supposed to be concealed, hidden from the eyes of the beasts that were roaming and looking for the seed. Revelations that were supposed to have been sealed up, but they went to declare and to make the revelation known in a place God had not anointed. And they went and declared, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And Herod, is there a child born that is to be the king of the Jews? And then he feared for his throne and the posterity of the throne, of his throne throughout his generation. And then they had to fetch for the scribes. And then with that information, one fell swoop, they opened up the mystery of God in an ungodly place. It led to destruction, devastation, death, and irrecoverable consequences. Irrecoverable consequences followed. When they left that place, after they had told them Bethlehem Ephrata, then the star came. And then they rejoiced. But the star was not hanging over the palace. The star led them to the animal house, the place of all foolishness, if you may, as for a king of a people as great as the Jews to be born, or for even a king to be born. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. When they had heard the king, they departed. Then the star appeared. But he was the king of the world. So we constantly point to the fact that it may appear somehow to some persons who may be wiser than the wisdom of God, ironically or in quotes, wiser in quotes, that there could be other spectacular ways of doing this. But there is no spectacular way that can be more spectacular than the way that God would mood at the time. But it didn't stop the wise men from acknowledging that even though he's a baby, he's a child, and he's been born in a place where animals were feeding, it didn't stop the wise men from acknowledging that this baby is a king. The Bible says, and they fell down and worshipped him. May you be conscious of where you are standing.
Amen.
You are standing at a place of divine. Listen, generations will be brought to hear and to see the mighty works of God unveiled through where you are standing now. This generation will not be that, it will be set before them.
Amen.
This is an altar and a structure from heaven that cannot be up. He said the city that is set on a hill, it can't be hidden. A city set on a hill can't be hid. A city that is set on a hill, it can't be hid. This platform and this arrangement of heaven in the earth will go places, not because the arrangement will be moving, but because it will the fame, the impact, and because of the determination of heaven upon it, heaven, it will go around places and gather the generations together. They will hear the unveiling, the unsealing, and they will be brought to feast and to fellowship in the river of the Spirit, and the opening of portals and gates of heaven and dimensions that have never been, and the gates and the doorways of precious things and the treasure rooms of heaven, for them to begin to find and to pick up things that are relevant for them and for the assignment and for their purpose. And it's not because of a man, but it is because the Lord himself has proposed it. And that is why we continually make reference to the grace of God. You hear we say, for this grace that God has given, for the grace that God has made known, because it is by grace that he has appointed. And it is by grace that he will manifest. It is not if no man. It is the grace of God himself. Generations will be brought. Not just nations. Generations. Generations. That is where you are standing. That is why, by God's grace and privilege and mercy, we continue to do these things, because surely and certainly the Lord has proposed this. Who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched forth. Who will turn it back? It has been determined. Let this, the reality of this, begin to take form and begin to occupy space in your heart. Jesus is Lord. Go ahead, give him praise.
We will look to you, we will see your face. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. We will look to you, we will see your face. Arise and shine, my day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. We will look to you, we will see your face. Arise and shine. Begin to pray. Pray. Say, Lord, let my purpose, you have brought me into this kind of structure, this arrangement, this call, this assignment. Let me find relevance here. Let the purpose for my being here begin to talk to me. Let me begin to find relevance here. Let this place begin to become relevant to you because of what God has ordained it, the role it has ordained to play and its purpose in this generation and how you relate to it. Lord, let it begin to find relevance in my life. That prayer, when you pray it, the Holy Spirit, as you are praying this, the Holy Spirit will even structure it more deeply in your heart. Because this thing is set to go to generations. Whole people, whole nation, tribes, tongues, people. And you are in that number. And since you are here already from this time and from these periods and from this time of it has begun to already speak and to testify. So let me begin to find profit early. The psalmist says, satisfy us early, O Lord, with thine goodness. Let me begin to find profit early and satisfaction from my being joined to this, or from you aligning me, or for me discovering this arrangement, this platform, this calling, this covenant. Let me begin to find profit from it early, O Lord. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, my day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, my day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. Arise and shine, my day star in the sky. I will look to you, I will see your face. You know, over and beyond the things that we say, the Lord is more interested in you, people making contact with the Spirit.
Bible, there's such a thing as the spirit of the covenant. There's such a thing as this. See, this thing has a spirit. This arrangement, this design, this purpose, this mystery of God, this thing he has designed to be in the earth has a spirit. It is that spirit that found the man and began to educate him, began to impart him. Because there's an outpouring for a whole generation. It's that spirit that found the man, began to educate him, began to impart him, began to teach him, began to groom him, began to structure his life, to chisel his life, to forge his life. You know, things can be molded, but things also can be forged. And he began to forge his life. And then the spirit becomes a mantle on him and a scepter and a robe and a cloak. It becomes his authority. This spirit becomes the spirit for a whole generation. If you have listened to some of the teachings we have done and from the meetings we held last, you notice that we have been talking about a particular audio of an outpouring of a spirit. And if for those of us who have followed you, you know we have called it by name and identified it. This becomes a mantle and a robe, a scepter of authority and a crown. But this spirit is so that a whole generation can be brought to join to be joined to it. See, because there is the spirit of a generation. There is how they should work. I was speaking with somebody the other day, and he was part of a meeting. I think the meeting ended today, and I know some of the men of God, the prophets and servants of God that came. I was like, so what is the emphasis of the Lord? And he began to say that one of the prophets or one of the apostles that came was saying that and he began to say there's a resurrection of the spirit of this person from this time, and began to state out the purpose. That's like the spirit of one spirit that is going to be poured out on a generation. So over and along also with the fact that it is necessary to hear the words, and God will want, but Lord is desiring that you make contact with this spirit. Let this anointing come upon you. Let this grace come upon you, so that it will not be something you say, okay, this brother Angus, this we see this spirit upon this. It's so that you also will have it, because we came to share the spirit. Yesterday we were speaking about how that people are said to be administrators of the things of. So we have moved into these times where they are administrators of the things of God. So, sir, you should share in this spirit, the one that works within. And as I'm speaking right now, it's coming upon those whose hearts are aligned, those whose hearts God has marked out. He's settling upon them. Some is settling like fire. He's settling like a robing, like a presence all around, like a crown. Some is just landing on upon them behind, like there's an attachment. I think there's somebody in this meeting who has shared on this platform, who has shared an encounter with me, that they saw me appear to them somewhere with the vision, and I was praying to, and I was just declaring upon them, and then they were developing some kind of structures on around their body, and some kind of structures. That person is here right now, and I don't want to go into detail to state it out clearly, but it's coming upon people like some, just like an extension, and something just been attached and added to you, attached to you. It's a grace, it's a robing, it's a mantle, it's a spirit, it's fire, it's the grace of God. It is designed and called so that you can be a part of what is coming, what part of what is going on, so that you can, through the wisdom, this wisdom begin to develop in your own part also. And if you are called for this assignment and you are called for this same spirit will teach you in that line and educate you in that line. Because the apostolic wisdom is given to every man according to his part in Christ Jesus. To teach, to educate, to instruct, to grant favor and grace. You need this wisdom to excel in your own part. Because if we are operating by the spirit of grace in the path the Lord has marked out for us, in your own path that the Lord has marked out for you, you will still be operating with this same spirit of grace, but it will be doing a new work for you because he's setting your own path straight. Because if the prophetic is upon somebody who is called to preach from the altar, the prophetic will operate in a way. But if the prophetic is upon somebody who is an inventor, that same prophet, it doesn't limit it to the prophetic will take on the robe of an inventor. And the manifestations and the content of their visions may differ, but it is still the same prophetic spirit. And so if this spirit upon is calling you to be something else, it will still be the same spirit, but it will be charting out new paths for you in Christ Jesus. It will, let me say that again, charting out new paths for you in Christ Jesus. You can put a quotation mark on that. Charting out new paths for you in Christ Jesus. Because there are still explorations and discoveries that will still need to be made inside of Jesus Christ. The revelations of Jesus we have so far have revealed him, but they have not exhausted him. The revelations of Jesus Christ that we have had so far, they reveal him, but they don't exhaust him. They are still discoveries in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is such an emphasis on catch the spirit, touch it, catch it. Let the same, and let me tell you, many of you that are joined to this work, and as many that the Lord will bring from across the nations of the earth, they will be baptized into this spirit. Many of you are being baptized right now. You are catching something new. That is what this occasion is.
In the sky.
So, right now, by the Spirit of grace, by the Spirit of grace, as it is flowing, receive, catch, take. Receive, catch, take. Receive, catch, take. Is flowing around you, is making contact with you where you are. You can't escape it. 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 You can't escape it.
Lift your hands, give him praise.
Henceforth, as these meetings go, there will be a lot of baptisms going on. Just immersions into the river of the Spirit. Just immersions, baptisms, immersions and baptisms. Because you cannot be hearing the words of the river from outside the river. You have to be inside. And so those days of being outside of the court have ended. For every meeting you come, you'll be baptized. And you watch the testimonies. We had a testimony from one brother that joined. Somebody was telling us. We don't even know him. He doesn't even know us. Somebody put it up somewhere and he followed. He was saying to the person, he said, something came over me that meeting. He called it something. He couldn't deny that something came over him, and that would be what would be happening perpetually, because there's such a thing as presence impact. So something will be coming over many, even people that even got the recordings that, you know, downloaded the recordings. Some of them are still hearing it.
We will not. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Help us to go into what we have, what you have for us. In the period of the course of this meeting, there's something we want to look at. Yesterday we attempted to look at it, but we couldn't look at it because yesterday was more of a sharing of the Spirit. Sharing, that is God taking the Spirit upon and putting, you know, God said to Moses, he said, gather 70 that will take the Spirit that is upon you and put it upon them.
So there was a sharing of the Spirit going on, and God was removing in measures and putting upon people. Some people that were here yesterday, you received the measures, and you could hear some of the encounters that people, the people that, some of the people that spoke at the end, recounting what happened with it during the course of the meeting. So in measures, God was taken out of the Spirit and put upon. And even when we got to speak with some persons this morning, the same word was coming up, you know, and there's a sharing and taking out, up and out of the Spirit that is, and putting it upon people. So you will find in you a new kind of operation going on. And God to in measures, according to as he had saw fit for people to carry. So in addition to what you have already, there's a new measure of this kind of anointing and grace. In this period, we are going to be looking at this journey of delight. Delight.
Arise and shine, my dear star.
The light. That was the theme, the umbrella. Hallelujah. That's the theme. That's the umbrella. Wow. I have quite some things to say. Let's see which one that God will have us speak out of. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Sometime last in 2021, February 2021, I have the exact day, but we won't say it for now. On February of last 2 years, you know, I told you, I still, because of how time flies before me, I still sometimes I forget to realize that last year is not 2021, because some of the things we didn't realize how 2022 left. But say, if I say February of last year, no, I'm talking about 2021. God began to speak to us about the glory of God. Now listen, I know you have heard of the glory of God, but I'm sharing with you now a prophetic word. And from there, we'll teach the prophecy and see how far God will carry us. God began to talk to us about the glory of God. And he was revealing things to us about the glory, about the glory. And he was saying that that this is the generation of God's glory. I know you've heard that prophecy before. But when God begins to talk to you of things that you have heard, and he begins to talk to you, just be quiet, because if he's making it personal to you, no, he said to them whom the word of God came, those were the ones that he referred to as gods. That means there was an elevation in their status. So God's word comes to transform. So if there's a word being spoken, and if it doesn't come to you personally, it will not change your position. So as that word came. All right, you know what I'm trying to say. So he said, "This the generation of the glory of God." He said, "The glory of God generation," and said that we are the birth of the generation of the glory. That was in 2021. He said, "We are the birth of the generation of the glory of God," and he was saying that the generation of the glory of God are being born. We are their birth, and he said they are a new generation. I know that you know that the glory of God is in levels. So if I know if there's a new generation, and we have said those things before, the new generation is supposed to carry a new level of glory. It's not ordained for us to still repeat the same level. And I said to you that it's not because a new people are born that was make them a new generation. There's a new generation because a threshold in the things of God has been passed, and a new one is about to emerge. That's what makes them a new generation, not because people are born, because people are born every day. So there are people who are older who are younger also, but they will all be grouped and categorized and classified under a particular generation. Mind you, in that time where the new generation, they were conquering the land of Canaan, a good number of them were 40 plus years above. Remember that, because they roamed the wilderness for 40 years. But mind you, there were people who were 85 years, but they were still a new generation. Caleb said, today I am 80 and 5 years. I was 45 that time. So, but Caleb being 80 and 5, he was still in the new generation. So it's not an age bracket thing. Let me make it known to you. It's not an age bracket thing. It's not age bracket. Do you understand? People were 40-something in that generation, and some were 20, 30. They were new generation. But Caleb was also new generation at age 85. And he was still conquering territories and discovering new things. So it's about your ability to make transition. It's not about the numerical value of your chronology of your age in time. I pray that settles into somebody's mind, so that you know there are people that are still in the old wine. Yes, there are people who are old in the new wine, some are young still in the old wine. It's about a migration, and God is particular about young people because of their age, because they have more life, obviously, because of how much they still have and how much energy they still have in them. Because you see that God said to Joshua, he said, well, you have conquered lands, but age is now against you. So God is also particular about age. Yes, because there's still much life in them. Do you understand? But
yes, sir.
It's not an age bracket thing. So we're better of a new generation. And he gave us that prophecy. And he gave us a particular prophecy from the scriptures in the book of Isaiah. But particularly, he was saying in that February that the glory of God generation, the generation of the glory of God, is being born. And that they are a new generation, and they are a generation of the glory. And we said to you before, that we were saying earlier on and just moments ago, that what makes the generation new is because they are a threshold, the things of God has been satisfied, and another layer is about to be opened, and the people that are migrated or carried into it form the baseline or the beginning of a new generation. And as the scripture said that we all with unveiled face behold as in a glass the glory of God, we are changed. So there is something for us to behold that makes us to be changed, right?
Yes.
Please pay attention to that, because we're about to say something with respect to that. There's something that needs to be beheld that brings about the transformation into glory. Hi, watch you. Please pay attention, because this is where it is a nitty gritty area, and you need to get it. We all behold as in a, we all with unveiled face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, right? We are changed from glory unto glory. Now that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. We all with unveiled face beholding as in a glass. Some translation will say mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. So there's something to behold, right? Now, but he said that we are changed from glory to glory. Let me stop there. I'll come back to it. So he said we are in the birth of a new generation, and this generation is a generation of the glory of the Lord particularly. And that was in 2021, and he began to speak.
and he gave a prophecy in the Bible, in the scriptures. We won't go into that today. But particularly he began to speak according to that word to teach about the glory of God. My God, and quite a number of things I have to make us understand before we make a point this evening. Go ahead, give God praise. Father, we worship. Father, we worship you. There are quite a number of things that have to make us understand before we tie the knots, before we pass a point this evening. Jesus is Lord. Father, we give you praise. Malaka shuke lebrekete ke lebrekete. Hallelujah. So there is that generation of glory, but you see, the glory of God comes some with a mystery, and it's very known. The glory of God will come to you by light. Somebody say by light.
By light.
The glory of God will come to you by light. When the glory comes, it will come to you by light. Now listen. It's not a light that just dazzles you. It will come to you by light. And when you talk about light, you talk about an unveiling. It talks about an unveiling and a making known. Mark it, an unveiling and a making known. You will notice that when Moses asked God, show me your glory, he at the same point was he was still in the same, it was still the same thing he still was asking, as that I may let me know you. He asked for the glory, and in the same place he was making the point to say, let me know you. Look at what he said. He said, if therefore I have found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you. Right? Yes. And then look at what he said. Please show me your glory. So you see that the glory is shown. And it's not just showing by seeing. There's something about a showing when the glory is involved. The prophet will say the glory of God will be revealed, and of we see it. So there's something about when the glory is involved. The glory is about an unveiling, a making known. That's why I see they say the glory of God is related to things being concealed. It is the glory of God to conceal. So when they say the glory of God generation, it talks about a generation that will be people who will experience such an unveiling and coming to a knowing. Right? Do we understand?
Yes, sir.
So, and that is what that is why it is delight. Paul spoke in the book of 2 Corinthians. He said, it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in your heart to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory. Did you see that? He said, the glory of God is supposed to be revealed. But look at, he said, it is shone
and there is a light to it. I don't want to go through the to take us into this scripture because there's just so much here. But he said, who are shone in our hearts? Shone. Why is he shining? He said he wants to give you the light of the knowledge of God's glory. Let's not, in the face of Jesus Christ, we won't splash light into that part. So the glory of God is made known by light. And let me tell you, it's such a great light, a light that is powerful, that brings about a generational unveiling and a coming to a knowing. That is why he said that there is something we behold. We see something that is light. We behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Radiance, the radiance of it. And then there's a transformation. So, listen. Being the generation of God's glory, it is of necessity that you come to the light. Now, I'm not talking about a light. There is the light that God proposed for a generation. Because that is what, as we have already said, that now declares that this is a new generation. Because there's a new level of glory. But that new level of glory will be accomplished by the accompanying light that declares it and makes it manifest. So you see the scripture says, he said, this was the true light that giveth light to every man. There is the light that is, that place said, John chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to verse 5. I think that's in verse 3 or 4. He said, this was the light that giveth light to every man that cometh into the world. There is a light that God ordained to give light to every man that is coming into the world. Now, so there is a light that is assigned for specific purposes. There is also a light that is assigned for every man that is called into this generation. This is the exact 2 years of that word, because it was given in February. Exact 2 years. But that accomplishment will come forth by a light. A light that will bring you into an unveiling of knowing of the glory of God. That was what Moses was asking for. It is no further way more confirmed that by the time Moses came down from speaking to God, his face also began to shine. In short, in that place where Paul was preaching that gospel in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, he spoke about Moses' face and linked it to a glory. He said that thing Moses experienced was the glory. Only he said that there's a greater one now. So, there is such a great light. And let me tell you, it's a journey of illumination, because it's glory to glory. Wow. So, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, and if I can say boys and girls, though maybe there's none like that here, do you have the light of this generation? He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all three might believe. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. There's a light. Do you have the light for your generation? Not the one you will share with them or preach to them, the one that makes you to be relevant, the one that marks you apart, that says, well, this guy is in the new stream. It's a light. I have a prophetic word, and I've not been able to. That's what they wanted to share yesterday, but we couldn't share. We didn't even share much. We couldn't say what we was. As we spoke according to what, this according to the move of God, and even today we still have not been able to say it. Have you encountered that light? Not the one you preach, the one that makes you relevant first to your generation, the one that secures your place, the one that confirms to you your identity, the light. Yes. I share with you this prophecy tonight, and then we'll close for tonight. While preparing for this meeting, we received the prophetic word. And that prophecy came as a music. Now that would not be the first time it has been happened. God's grace speaks like that. We receive prophecies also in music, because they come. You are in the place of God, and then the song comes, and you understand that the song is a message. And then by the time you finish ministering the song, then the entire illumination distills to you, and you just have insight. And so the prophecy came in a song, and from the song came the illumination that of the prophecy. Hallelujah. These operations are true scriptures. The book of Psalm, where all the prophecies of the Messiah are actually song books. I hope you know. They were what they were singing in the tabernacle. So it's a Bible. It's an operation that is available in scriptures. The prophecy of the Messiah that the psalmist received, David received, King David received, they were all music. If you have the kind of this thing I have, they actually have their own tune. And you will see where some of those sounds were set to particular tunes. You will see one of them set to the doves from distant land. That's the melody for that. And that's why he will give this song to his music director on six string harp. There's one of the tune of the psalm that is called The Death of the Son. It's there in the scriptures. Maybe your Bible doesn't have it, but the song, being a book of psalms, it comes with the instruction to the music director, because they knew the melodies they were playing according to it. And that's why you see the Selah, which is the interlude, pause here. Let the melody, let the instrumental minister. So we receive this prophecy in a song. And this is what we wanted to say yesterday. Let's say it here now, so that by within the rest of the days we have, it will be the unveiling. So while we're just there praising, worshiping God, were we doing that? Or we're just in the place of the presence of God, just in that state where we are thinking upon the Lord and just focused, being connected, the song began to come. And I will have to sing the song in maybe in parts and pieces, then we can go to it. While we are in that place, it just came clear, right? The first part of the song says, the Gentiles will come, lift up your eyes, Malakashukele, Pepe, Kasim, Kata, Kata. the Gentiles will come. That's what the first part says. They will flow in their multitudes as they run to your light. You already know where it's coming from. They flow with their precious things as they come to your light. Lift up your eyes and see as they run to your light. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is upon you now. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is upon you now. Maybe subsequent, maybe we'll sing it as we move. But that is the prophetic word that the music brought. And that's the words of the music, the lyric of the music. And it brings the emphasis to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3. Because that we are in that days of Isaiah 60. And that Isaiah 60, it's one of the most profound prophecies of the prophet Isaiah that speaks particularly to this generation, as it has even in previous times. And where the emphasis lies, so the caption is, the Gentiles will come. And that is why I am here announcing and prophesying it and declaring it according to the word of the Lord, that the Gentiles will come. I'm declaring it according to that word, that the Gentiles will come.
Amen.
Look what he said. He said the Gentiles will come. That's the word. The Gentiles will come.
Just go ahead, begin to declare it. You may not, I know you have access to what Isaiah 60 says, but there's still something I have to still make known to you, in that, so that you could have the fullness of it. But go ahead, just begin to pray. The Gentiles will come. The Gentiles will come. The Gentiles will come. The Gentiles will come. In the name of Jesus, the Gentiles will come to your light. The Gentiles will come to your light. The Gentiles will come to your light. And I'm talking to you as an individual. The Gentiles will come to your light. We have over time made confessions and accepted promises and promises that have come to us. But there is a dynamics and a system and a medium by which the prophetic words of God come to play. Because God is not a magician. Magic, or what people want to describe as magic, is when the things of God are explainable from God's perspective, though they may defy our logic. When Moses parted the Red Sea, the Bible says an east wind came and blew. So it wasn't like that the Red Sea just, winds came and parted it. If you now ask, where did the wind come from? You now know God created the wind and he speaks to it. So we have accepted promises and prophecies, right? But there is how prophecies play out. And because there's a nitty-gritty and a design and a mechanism to the fulfillment of prophecies, some things have to be in place. And Jesus Christ spoke that the Gentiles will come, but they will only come to your light. They will come, but they will only come to your light. There are many that will be brought to the place of opportunities. But if in that day your light is not shining, that prophecy will not settle on your life. when the Gentiles will be coming, it's because there is an illumination that will be upon you that they will come to. Let me tell you, you are not the one to pull them. The prophecy will pull them. The Spirit of God is saying, the days of His power, many will be willing. He said, I will draw men to my. So it is, the prophecy didn't say you will call the Gentiles. The Gentiles will come by the word of God because it has been declared. What the prophecy makes very clear is that what is your own portion is where the prophecy says your light. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
It didn't say anything about you calling the Gentiles. The Gentiles are predetermined to come. They are determined. Somebody say they are determined to come. They are determined to come. The Gentiles will come, not shall or not may come. They will come. Your part inside is where He said your light. It's your light that is where your attention will be. Do you have any light? That's the question. That's the word. That's where the caption came. He said, the Gentiles will come. He didn't add again. But we could follow through scriptures and see the line and see that this is a continuation of something that has been before. The Gentiles will come. Angus, the Gentiles will come. Peter, the Gentiles will come. Faith, the Gentiles will come. Comfort, the Gentiles will come. Joseph, the Gentiles will come. Emmanuel, the Gentiles will come. Grace, the Gentiles will come. But he said, to your light. Your. Not to God's light, best see. Your light, your own, yours. You know, Paul says you are partakers of my grace. He didn't say the grace of God. He said my grace. But he's not the author of the grace. He's not the creator. But that grace given to him by God is his possession. So he says, my. Do you have light? The Gentiles will come. They may, that's not it. They will, and they are coming. They will come. Somebody will go with that word. The Gentiles will come to your light. That's why you see the admonition from the beginning. Arise, shine, your light has come. You have a part to play. They say you should arise. Shine. Your light has come. He say it means that it's not. He said that the light that has been declared for your generation, it has arrived. 2021. He said the glory generation is born. It's 2 years now. It's 2 years since that word landed. This is February of 23. But I'm telling you something on February of 21. So he said, your light, that is the allocation. It's not that somebody saying, you people are still here. Your supply has come. Oh. And then everybody runs to go and queue because supplies have come from authorities. Like the way they live in, maybe in somewhere where they are dependent on the body for provision. So he said, your light. So maybe just imagine people of maybe soldiers in the camp, and they have to rely on food being brought in, and so they are just relaxed. Some are hungry, some are tired, and then an announcement goes on the camp. All right, everybody, get up now. Supply has come. The food has come. Join the queue, or join the factions. Find your platoon and all that. And then you file up, everybody's in place to collect supply. He said, arise from wherever you are. Your light has come. Your light has come. Your light has come. A generation's light, it has come. A light of a people, it has come. But inside that light, you will take your own portion of illumination. Angus. The Gentiles will come. Yes, sir. They will come.
The prophecy that determines them to come. But they come to your life. What do you have? To a generation that we pull the Gentiles. Makata kalabrakata. One gift from God is enough. It is light. He said, all good and precious gift, perfect gift come from God, the Father of lights. There is a relationship between the gift of God and the light of God, because the gift of God proceeds from his radiance and illumination. One gift, because this light, it's an illumination, a revelation, it's an impartation of a reality inside you. Because the light only brings you to a tangible experience and reality. All good and perfect gifts. So just the Gentiles will come. That's the prophecy. These are the days of nations. The Gentiles, let me tell you now, the other translations will tell you, say the nations will come. That's because the Hebrew word for Gentile is actually goyi. 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 And in the Hebrew world, only believe there are two nations. We have heard that. If you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. That's why it's interpreted and it's called heathen. So every other nation on earth, they are Gentiles. Then we have the Jews. And that's why we were talking. That's why yesterday, you see the prophetic word, the prophetic sounds coming. We're talking about nations will come. Nations will come. Nations will come. And then when we gave people the opportunity to share their encounters, you saw that brother said he heard inside of him, or the word of God came to him, said, nations will rise. There's no rise without light. Paul said, I went up by revelation to communicate. I left. David says, send me thy word and thy truth. Let them lead me to that. There is no ascension without revelation or illumination. So that's why when the word was coming, you could repeatedly hear yesterday that nations will come to the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That was all we have singing all through a bulk of the time yesterday. It's all in line, and it's not because we are trying to sing so that we can engineer the things to rhyme. We don't even know how to do that, but it's just that when we follow the listings of God and how the Spirit coordinates things at the somewhere in between, you see that everything fits into a perfect system. Let me even shock us for that. It was earlier on today, while speaking with some of these people, the admins and all that, that I pulled up a flyer from 2020, September 30th. And the meeting of that day in 2020 was titled, Nations Ascend, Nations Will Rise. And the brother said, oh my God, I heard that nations will rise. And if you go through the transcript, where we preached from was Isaiah 60. And then the word is coming again in sound again, saying, the Gentiles will come. You know why he said the Gentiles will come? They are about to come. The nations are about to come. They 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 are about to come. The nations 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 are about to come. Do you have the impartation to disciple the nation? Do you have that kind of gift? Do you have that kind of light? You are not too young. David was at the national level when he was. You are not too young. Age is not what is here. Is grace. Is grace. Is grace. It's grace. It's grace. The Gentiles will come. Nations are about to come. We are about to see the pool of nations. The pool of nations. We are about to see the pool of nations. We are about to see the pool of nations. We are about to see the pool of nations. People here are national figures, people that have relevance at national levels, generational, cross-national, global, transnational, let me put it that way. I know it. I've seen it. I'm aware of it. So when I talk about the nations, it's not alien to me. I have the witnesses. It's as if we are even there already. Because of the consciousness, we speak about it freely. Paul said, let me speak freely to you about the patriarch David. We speak about it freely. It's not an alien world. It's not something that is far or disconnected from our reality. The nations we come, we are aware. Kalariko, Shingra, Kadeke, Sukalapadia, Leke, Kurundia, Sekete, Lebramakata, Siketeketia. And as they are coming, we have the discipline for a nation, the education for a generation, the impartations of God by His grace and the access to administer the wisdom of divine things and the structure of government and ordination, the building and the edification of whole structures that pertains to people. We wait for time. We wait for the set times that Jesus Christ Himself has ordained in the earth. And I'm tempted to add that we delay because time wastes us, not God. If you understand what that means. You are, or this generation, right? There will be people that will have rankings and authority in nations. I saw it. Even you too. It's not about where you are coming from or your level. It's about because they have determined it concerning this generation that God will give them the nations. Oh, Jesus. They have determined it concerning this that God will give them the nations. Lane Mahara Sendra Meke Sumbra Hakaya. So it has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with you. It has everything to do with the light that has come. He said, the light has come. This light, the Gentiles will come to. So he said, the Gentiles will come. The light has determined it. It has been determined by the assignment of that light. He sent forth his word, then it accomplished. He said, when I send forth my word, it doesn't return void, but it goes further to accomplish the purpose to which it was sent. The light has an assignment. Part of it is so that Gentiles will come to it. That's why he said the Gentiles will come. Stopped there. The balance, you will find it in scripture. But he put the emphasis that the Gentiles, they will come. The nations, they will come. Because the assignment of this light is to pull them. But inside that light, every man has his inheritance in light. Paul said, he said, blessed be the God of our fathers who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Have you anything to say to a nation, to say to the generations when they come before you or when you come before them? If the Gentiles come now, will you be able to shine on them by God? God said in Isaiah, through the same prophet, 45, He said, I will give you for a light to the Gentiles. Let's see that. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6. He said, I will also give you as a light to the nations, that you will be my salvation to the ends of the earth. I don't want to go and talk about this because if I pull this out of the scripture and build, and my God, oh, the Gentiles,
come. The Gentiles will come. Lift your hands, begin to pray. There's nobody here that is less far, is not qualified for the prophet, for the promise, or the word of nations. It's not about you, it's about what God has designed. And what God has made available determines what is possible. Let me say it again. What God has made available determines what is possible. If God has brought you before he brought you to a... Now, let me tell you. When you go for a feast, you can't order what was not made. You want to eat baked chicken. You say, well, we don't have baked chicken, so you won't get it. But if you say you want fries, and there's fries in the banquet, what they have prepared out of the variety of food that they have ready for their guests, you will surely get it. What God makes available is what determines what is possible. What God makes available in your generation is what determines what is possible in your lifetime. So you may say you have never seen yourself in light of being a generational figure. It's not about you. The Bible says that who is it that seeth a thing and it cometh to pass when God has not commanded? That who is it also includes you. It's not just your enemy, it's you also, you are involved. So it is what God makes available that determines what is possible. It's what God makes available in your time, in your generation, that determines what is possible with you. Because so I was saying, I have not seen myself. It doesn't matter how you are seeing yourself. What has God said? And what is the assignment of the light? And what have you received? Jesus says, Lord, go ahead, give him praise. The Gentiles will come. We have to now prepare for the nations, Peter. Are you with me, Peter?
Yes, sir.
We have to prepare for the nations. We have to be ready for them when they come. And we have to be able to understand God's purpose for nations. Because when issues begin to happen to nations and they seek a prophet and an interpreter of things, then it has to be somebody who will be able to speak to them and speak to their heart and speak to their situation. So that there will be comfort, because the Bible says the purpose of the prophecy is for comfort, is for edification, and is for exhortation. So we have to prepare for nations. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
We have to prepare for the nations and have the destiny of nations and the books of nations properly unsealed to us, so that we can have understanding of things to come, so that genuinely we can become prophets and apostles to nations and people that will speak comfort and healing to nations, because okay. of scars and injuries that will come to nations and so much so much experiences that nation will have and that not will make sense. And they'll be looking for who to run to and for who to listen to. This was the same condition that Germany found themselves after the First World War. After the First World War, when the Allies who had won the war because of the nations declaring armistice, and they met together to form the League of Nations under the leadership of people like Woodrow Wilson, who was the president of the United States at that time, they placed so much sanction on Germany. Look at what they did to them. They made them to lose all their colonies outside of their territory. They forfeited them to the Allies, the people that were victorious at the war. Not only that, they divided up their heritages to form out European nations out of them. Nations like Poland and all that, because all of those nations were part of Germany, right? And I think even Luxembourg. And then they imposed all the damages that were done, because cities and whole places were... Are you listening? I'm speaking about nations now. I hope you are listening to me, what I'm saying right now. Cities and nations were let down because as a result of the war, and they made Germany to pay for every cost of it. and they imposed a levy for them to pay, it running to billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, and with an unreasonable interest that obviously they will not be able to pay. And they gave Makala Brakasha, they gave them 20 years to pay for those damages. And it was so strict that the Prime Minister of the UK at about that time was said that this is not peace, that this is a treaty for just 20 years. Because when a generation comes and they are not able to meet the demands and they are aggrieved of this, they will try what the previous generation had done. So Germany broke and they were in depression because the burden and the everything from the world. So they were paying debt, international debt that was growing. In short, it was said concerning the president Woodrow Wilson that he said that if I were a German, I wouldn't sign that thing, because what they had imposed on them was too much. So the nation was in depression. They felt like they were the outcast. As a matter of fact, it felt bad to be a German, because it wasn't like they caused the war. The war started between Serbia and Austria-Hungary at about that time. But every blame came upon them. It's not even sure what they even allocated to Austria-Hungary. And listen to it, after the First World War, the nation became poor back. All their foreign colonies lost military power. In short, they put a limit on their armaments. That is, they put a limit on the number of armed forces they can officially get. That means if they get more than social number, let's say 100,000, the max is you can't build your military force beyond 100,000. If you try that, you are looking for trouble. They put a limit on that, and they put a limit on how much exploration they have to do with their armaments, that is their artillery. Are you listening? That was the state Germany was. Then Adolf Hitler rose, right? Adolf Hitler began to speak to the Germans and began to educate the Germans. If you see his speech, when he speak, he was such an electrifying speaker that even people of present generation, in short, I saw one of his speech. If you see the power the man uses to speak, his demeanor, his composition, his skill in elocution, his fluency, and the passion out of him, you will feel power out. In short, one said, I feel power out of his words, though I don't hear what he's saying. He's speaking German, but you could feel power from him. And he began to instill the Germans, began to inculcate a doctrine into their heart of their superiority as a race. And he spoke to the broken heart of Germany and rebuilt Germany and instilled with them a kind of understanding that put them over and above every other race. And he rose in Germany, but he rose to their destruction. Because you know why? When he began to speak to them, he began to talk to them. And because they were broken, they were distressed. You know, the Bible says, and everybody that was in debt, that was broken, that was cut down, casted, they gathered themselves to David. And he became, that was that kind of operation with Hitler. He became a negative David to them, because the nation was broken, indebted, downcasted, rejected, and all that. So he became a negative David. That Davidic order operated by the negative way upon him. Or he was just assigned as a counterpart, or what? A contrary agent. When he rose, he rose that nation and built a military power numbering in millions, and then began to attack the nations of the world. He single-handedly erupted the Second World War that would be more devastating than even the First World War. And because of that, he said that the Jews were anti-human parasites, and that the world will not be free and not be saved in a world where there are Jews. 6 million Jews, according to records, slid. And at the end of the day, when he destroyed the nation, they couldn't take justice on him. He took his own life. You know what is painful when somebody you attempted to kill, or no, that's not something, somebody that you wanted to bring to justice, takes his own life. So that means he went scot-free with it, where he will meet eternity, where whatever happens. But you see, it was because nobody was there to speak the right. One person rose negatively. He brought destruction.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what I just said? So yes. We need to. So if there were people and there were prophets of God, who had the books of destiny of the nation, they will raise contrary and operate what Hitler had operated. The gate he operated and the opportunity he saw that he was able to inspire the people. But this time he will inspire them unto righteousness. Yes, and sir. Deliver them out of that thing and begin to say, this is not right. So we need to prepare for the nations to come to us, because the nations will come for counsel because of certain things they will see. Right now, you see there's an earthquake in Turkey and Syria. The last death toll I see is numbering 21,000 persons dead. It has gone more than that, because that was, I think, was it earlier on yesterday or early today? I think that was yesterday. So what? How do we relate to the nations? How do we become an agent of comfort to such people? But you see, when the anointing is upon you, it's the anointing that heals, not your words. But you speak to them, something happens. That is why they say the anointing makes the difference, because at the speaking, there is healing. There should be such people with the anointing of a generation, with the understanding of the destiny of the nation and books, that can still interpret God's purpose for a nation. And you see what I'm saying? We have to prepare for the nations. That is what I'm saying to you now.
Yes.
Because you follow some of the things we have been saying on the platform. We have told you that there's danger coming. There's danger coming. I'm seeing that if Biden and the president of Ukraine had met, and the president of Ukraine is telling him we need fighter jets. Makalakata. We need fighter jets. That's after the Abraham and the Leopard tanks from Germany and the United States have been sent to them. We say we need fighter jets. It's a full-scale war. If Russia has begun to pick the wind, saying the European nations and the Western nations are beginning to back Ukraine. If their forces begin to overwhelm him, you know that Putin man, you know there's evil in his soul. You know him already. Let's pray his own allies, which obviously is also China. I hope you saw the conflict between Russia and the United States and China within last week about the floating alleged surveillance balloon that was of Chinese origin, that was hovering over the territory of the United States for a period of 4 days until they had to shoot it down.
Yes, sir.
And the Chinese people didn't take that funny. So if and U.S. is giving tanks to Ukraine and giving them jets, and this Putin guy, you know, Russia is bordering China, and China has been agitating. I hope you are aware. China has been agitating. As a matter of fact, you know all the conspiracies and the theories that surrounded the events of 2020, how they said it was a plot from the Chinese government and the Chinese region for them to emerge as a world power because they wanted to reorganize the government of the earth. There is disaster coming. We must have the books of nations. If you read the transcript of Nations Ascend, Nations Will Rise. And we call, and then under we say the rise of the other world powers. When you go to the transcript, we have insight on what is going on. Peter, we have to prepare for the nations. We have to have the destiny of nations open to us. Jesus has said, the word of God has said, his word has come, the Lord has said, the Gentiles will come. We don't, when they say they will come to your light, it's because they are in darkness. And they say they will feel like they will run. Jesus said, take heed that the light that is in you is not darkness. That's what they saw in Hitler. Do you know that it was after the Second World War that the Germans began to say Hitler is a devil, because they didn't know what was happening within. Then I had to look it up on the internet. What do the Germans say of Hitler? And I went to a forum about, was it 90% or 91% hate him. Some say he's a devil. He's a symbolism of pure evil. This was the person they were clamoring for. He wrote a book and said the final solution. Take heed that the light in you is not darkness. They ran to that light. They saw darkness. Peter, Jesus said the Gentiles will come. It means that they will be looking for light. That's why that even said in the first part. He said, behold, the darkness will cover the earth.
Thick darkness.
Deep darkness. darkness the people. And then the Lord will arise and his glory will be seen. Then the Gentiles will come. There's a prophecy of darkness that will push the Gentiles to the wall, that they will look for light. Do you have the light of God? Peter,
yes,
sir. We have to prepare for the nations. They will come. We have been used of God to declare the times. This is what the times said. This is what the times have said. We don't stop there. Don't stop there. I put up something on the platform. And it had to do with, I posted a word in 2020 October where it said, tell the nations prepare for war. We are not saying the prophecy, we are not happy people are going to fight. There's a reason why it was posted, and we are going to talk about it. You remember we said that we will come to give an exhaustive comment. We can't see all of that just by writing it. It's a volume. We will be writing, it's a book on its own. But that's some of it is what is being said now. So we have defined the times, prophesied the times, made the times known. We have to go into the details of the times and what to do in the times. Because the Bible says the sons of Sifaka have the understanding of the times. They didn't stop there. They said they knew what to do.
What to do, Kai.
So we are coming. We have said this is the times, which is the function of the understanding. We have to go further, Peter, to know what to do. And we are going to do that. And we are going to have the catalogs of the world to China, to the Americans, to Europe, to the United Arab Emirates, to the Middle Eastern nation. This is what God has said. And this is where your wealth is. Because when economies of nation fall, we will tell them, Jesus said to Peter, cast the net this way. We will tell them, you have been exporting this. Now look for this. There is this mineral in your soil you don't know. Sir, there is an impartation that makes you to mark the territories. You will tell a nation what resources they have. You say, we have not found it. He say, yes, but look again. Go to the regions of New Orleans. Go this way, behind this rock. Let the government dig there. There is this resource there. You have not found it. Jesus Christ put it there from the beginning. That's a prophet. He has marked their territories. The nations, the Gentiles. Oh God, the Gentiles will come. The Gentiles will come. The Gentiles will come. There will be darkness. They will see darkness. They will be seeking for light. They will be seeking for light. They will be seeking for, oh, that you will be light. Indeed. Jesus Christ is Lord. So the Gentiles will come. Go ahead, give God praise. We will see, we will pray. We will see, we will praise. My kashike leke sukalaba. We will see.
Listen. There are keys for nations. We have the access of the keys for nations. We can open the nations for you. You didn't know. The doors for nation can be swung open from here. The doors of nations, going outside is not, the doors of nations can be swung open for you from here. Let me tell you, it's one thing to travel on your own accord, but there's nothing to travel according to the pathways of Jesus Christ. When you go by God, you enter the gates of the nation. When you go by jail, where you go on your own, you enter airplane and land at the airport and enter the city. Those who go by God follow the gates.
And when you go through the gates of nations, that's when you begin to you know their inheritance. That's why I say your seed will contend with the enemies and the gates. Jesus is Lord. Give God praise. Gentiles will come. Just go and worship him. You are set for something tonight. See something? Tonight and onwards, greater things. Now we have, by God's grace, we have been able to say this much and said this way. You can only now imagine what next God will want to say, beginning from now. Because he had made this known that you know there are mighty things. But Peter?
Yes, sir.
And what he says to one is saying to all. I'm not just speaking to this gentleman answering. It's a prophecy. It's a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word. Even right. It's prophecy. We are speaking by prophecy. When we started talking, like, it's prophecy. When we called his name, we started speaking. We are prophesying. We are foretelling the flow of the river of God, bringing forth utterance. This is prophecy. We are foretelling and prophesying. And so we have to prepare for the nations. Because the Gentiles will come. Go ahead, give God praise. Thank you. Worshiping the beauty of
thank you, Father.
Go ahead and pray. Worship. Thank you. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. Most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
This will go global, to go viral. It will be made known. It will be scattered abroad like the seed of the sower. It will be scattered abroad. This message will go viral. It will go viral. It will be scattered abroad like the seed in the Bible of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. I declare and I speak over you, you here tonight. Like I've spoken about the word, the climate of heaven rest upon your heart. For this world to germinate, let the clergy at the things in your heart that are thorns that will choke this world, they are removed from it. And God is changing the climate of somebody's spiritual life right now. God is changing the climate. It has been drought, heat, dryness, but now I see the clouds guarding, I see dew dropping, I see a refreshing, a coldness coming, because it has been dry, dusty, like you're in a barren land. But right now, I see that dew coming, I see the cloud changing, the atmosphere changing, and then the cold breeze that comes when the rain is about to fall, that brings that refreshing from a season of drought and famine. I see that is coming. I see freshness of air, because the dusty ground is softened, and I see seeds budding out. It's a refreshing. It's a refreshing for you. As the word said, that until the wilderness be counted, the fruitful land and the fruitful land be counted as a forest. So it's a refreshing, that this is the outpour of the Spirit that brings about that refreshing. So there's that outpour in your heart. Your environment is changing, and it's also affecting your mind, because it's giving you a refreshing and a refreshing in your mind. And because of that weakness that accompanied those seasons of depression and just that dryness, the weakness that comes from it, is refreshing your mind. And because your mind is being refreshed, you are getting strength, because there's an energy that comes because of a healthy mind. There's that energy that comes. People are having attack in your mind, they feel weak and down. So there's strength coming to you because of that refreshing coming into your mind. So it is done. Congratulations, refreshing continues, and you will grow in it. It will be, I see, just refreshing for you. Congratulations, I'm happy that it is over. Those other things is over, and thank God for this refreshing you're having. We give God praise. God bless you. Wow, what a time. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Spread the word.
We give God praise. Spread the word. Tomorrow we are here 7:30 again. Now you can only imagine what God is said to say. Mark it, and you already know what to go with. The Gentiles will come, and Peter, we have to prepare for the nations. Oh, yeah. Jesus is. Go ahead, thank him, give him praise. Father, worship you. Thank you for that. Let only your name be highly exalted. To you be all the praise, to you be all the glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm aware that people had encounters and may had visions within this meeting, and will have visions and encounters also over the course of the night. Please let us know. You can message the admins here, or if you're on the platform, on the WhatsApp platform, you can send your encounters also to any of the admin. Let us be aware so that if there are some that we will make comment on, and maybe further pray we and agree with you on, we'll do that. So some of you had encounters and witnesses and knowings within the course of the meeting, and others we have them over the course of the night, and some will have them even after the meeting, and something will continue your heart, and maybe you might not be able to even go to bed immediately because of some of the experiences that will come. So, but let's have them and share it with the admin so that it can get to us. If you want, you can post it directly to our profile, or what, how do I put it? We will see it, but we may not give you. You won't get a reply, not even me. But we will see it and speak over it. But preferably, you can send it to any of the admins, and they'll be able to get it to us. And Jesus is Lord. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for what has happened tonight. Be thou exalted and magnified. Thank you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Yes. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us. And we shall dwell forever.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Shalom. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory.